Mayor, can you have two more minutes? Let's see what has Chrissy's got, the board.
We ready?
We're ready whenever you are.
Nancy going to join us with Zoom for policy at all?
Yes, so in the regular session, right before we start, we'll go ahead and give Scott and Nancy a call and have them join.
Everyone for being here, I realize everybody's day and schedules and going to be here, especially a little bit early today. And I appreciate having her professionals with us here today and everyone here from NDOT as well.
So we brought first professional Dart McGregor. I'd like to introduce Dart McGregor and Cody. We met with the board about 6 months ago, or was it? Anyway, they've got a little presentation, and we'd like to give the board an update on exactly the trend we're going with our ambulance billing and how it's moving it as of now.
Want to take it over?
Yeah.
Thank you for having us here. Again, I'm Dart. This is Cody. We represent First Professional Services. We're an ambulance billing company. We've been doing it for about 30 years now. Ogden City was my first customer about 28, 29 years ago, and they've been with us ever since, which is a testament to longevity and doing something right, we would hope. We now service 15 different agencies, from Brigham City down to Millard County. We have a combination of both city-based fire departments and fire districts. We just launched with Moab, Grand County, starting this month. So you guys are no longer our newest customer, sorry. One of the things that we specialize in, and you'll always hear me say, is more than a billing agency. I think anybody can own software and technologically retrieve data, import it into some billing software, send out statements, get your payments, take your percentage, do the deposit, and start all over again. From day one, I graduated from Utah State. My degree is in marketing with minors in accounting and computer science. I'm one of the minds that I want to know. I want to make things better. So all along, I've always been about building a better mousetrap, whether it's EPCR, technology, or...
EPCR, sorry, you're going to have to...
So there are so many acronyms.
You're going to have to go
patient care report.
Like,
okay. You'll hear us refer to EOBs, explanation of benefits. And we were told to keep this fairly short, but kind of let you guys know how this came about, number one. Give you a ambulance billing 101 overhaul, assuming that you guys don't know what you need. Okay, which I know you know more than that, but we're going to start there. And so with the theme of being more than a billing company, we've started doing a lot of consulting, not only
become very data driven, you could say,
for our clients, because numbers is power. Yeah. Knowing what data you have and who it wants it and for what purpose. It becomes, then you get involved in doing budgets, EMS budgets for cities, if you have a history of what's happened in the past and projections. Cody's kind of been my IT guy, bringing us into the 20th century. But
21st.
Sorry. 22nd, 23rd. Anyway, so anytime we're talking, if you have a question, let us know. We'll try and answer them. We're going to try and finish up with an open discussion at the end with Q&A stuff. Ambulance Billing 101.
I was just going to say, this really all started. Chief Beecraft called us and asked us to do an analysis. Essentially, hey, crunch our numbers. Let us know how you feel we compare to everyone else that you do billing for. And that's kind of what around about we found some opportunities, essentially, based on the data that was already in the system. And that's kind of what led us to being here today.
I've done a lot of consulting for agencies that are not my clients. I get calls from city admin saying we want an independent outside look. at what our fire department's doing and their numbers, and it's quite enlightening. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there's some numbers that typically I can ask for 5 or 6 numbers, and I can tell whether a department's on top of things or not. Not to say this one isn't, but again, we drill down into the details of what you're doing, why you're doing it, because we do it for so many other people, we can compare the data. So this is what we see out here.
It's kind of a, it's kind of a you don't know what you don't know, if that makes sense.
So anyway, we did, Chief Beecraft gave us a bunch of the data from the prior billing company. I did an analysis. I called him. I said, oh, I'm ready to present. We came up and presented the data, and typically we find opportunity costs that we will recommend and say, you know, you can do this, but you don't have to, but here's where you are, and comparatively, here's where the rest of our customers are on the average. So getting down to the details, there's 3 legs of the revenue stool in EMS billing. Okay? Think of a milking stool that doesn't hold very well on 1 or 2 legs. So the 3 legs. For revenue, your base rates, your mileage, and your supplies. The state EMS department controls the first 2.
They base rate and mileage.
Your base rates, which are your ALS, BLS, intermediate, the type of transport, okay?
It's the level of service that's provided to the patient.
So paramedics do advanced life support type of work. And we're really doing kind of fundamental stuff, but where you guys are licensed for ALS, you'll do ALS service, you'll do some intermediate service. We monitor all that. The last one I mentioned was supplies. So that's the only one that the state says you guys set your own rates for supplies, but they do make recommendations and say what you charge should be UCR, usual, customary, and reasonable, for your neighboring agencies.
Ballpark with everyone else.
And I'm with the director of EMS, and I said, so basically, price fixing, collusion? Because no, don't say those words. Anonymously, yes, we say, you know, ballpark, this is what you're going to see in your marketplace, and it's different, okay? Mileage is also set by the state. It's like 38.75 a mile, so don't ride in one of the ambulances. It's very expensive. But that is set by the state. So really, any agency can only control one aspect, and that's the supplies, and that's usually where we see a weakness when we're doing some consulting and some analyzing. Supplies also crosses over into services because the state lets you charge for your expertise in administrating drugs, doing an IV, EKG monitoring. So there's a little bit of the intellectual property that's involved, not just the hard, the C-collars and the drugs and those things, Band-Aids. So we will sit down and we'll go through, and in our case, I went through, I sat down with these guys and said, this is, I'm not here to place any blame or anything. This is what picture is painted. And it's not unusual when I tell you I do go to other cities. Sometimes it's scary what we find out. Sometimes we'll pat them on the back and say, you're doing a great job. But then we sit down with them and says, let's, in our world, and we there's some handouts with some that we have given you. We've partnered with a company called Domo. I don't know if you know who Domo is. Big tech company.
They're like a data visualization company, essentially. They allow us to take all of this data that we have and make it look pretty and digestible so that anyone could understand it.
And create some analytics with it. So over the last year, we've weekly been meeting with Domo, dumping all of our data. We can take Ogden City, for example, go all the way back to 2007, I think, we have the data on that. That lets you do a lot of things. It lets you do a lot of analytics. It lets you do growth. We can do projections and say based on, now with you guys, we don't have any history other than the prior billing company. But that's a good starting point. I always start there and say, let's look at where you're at and what you've done in the past, break it down and see what we can do going forward to help. And so we've been received very well. I'm going to talk a little bit about, if you could go to this one right here.
Should be just the second page, that dashboard.
So we call them key indicators. So these guys go out and they transport people, and there's a dollar amount assigned to that, and we bill it in. They're what we call gross charges. How much did you charge out gross for your supplies and your mileage and your base rates over a period of time? If you divide that gross charges by the number of transports, you're going to get a gross charges per transport, which is a key indicator. That means every time you put a patient in the box and the wheels roll, what your gross charges are going to be, because that's where it starts. And we'll talk a little bit about the concept of a pipeline, if you will. The gross charges is putting oil or whatever in the pipeline. Eventually, it's going to come out the other end as far as receipts. So we will track the charges for transports, the payments for transports, the supplies charged for transports, and again, I'm going back to the three legs of the stool, and then compare those to what's UCR, usual, customary, and reasonable for, you know, maybe the Wasatch Frontier. Collection percentages. Now, we also use all of this data for all 15, so I have an internal report that shows me all of our clients combined, where we're at, what are standards, and therefore we can have benchmarks and do some measuring on where do you, and we're very strong in Weber County, Syracuse is a client, Northview, I should have told you who all our clients, Brigham, Ogden, but anyway, Roy, we break it down and we sit down and then we start to formulate a plan based on what you guys want to do, how much leeway you give us, and give you some advice on how to implement things. We sat down with Theron and Harrington and these guys, and the first part is we start with your fee schedule. What are you charging for and how much? Now, everybody buys their supplies from Boundary or Shine Reshine, and as you know, during COVID, a box of gloves went from $12 to $36 for a box of gloves.
Well, and you're adding PPE and things like that.
If you're not actively in your department, if Big Brother's not watching the store, that can catch up to you in a hurry, and suddenly you're spending more, and it's not uncommon. When we had, you know, Bauman down from Ogden, and we went through it in very detail, I said, wow, we're charging less for some drugs than our cost. So what we do as a billing company is we sit down at least semi-annually on a calendar basis and a fiscal year basis and go through all this. We just had South Salt Lake come down to our offices last week for a like meeting where we went through. They had their costs and we go and do a fee analysis. So we want to get those three indicators, especially your supplies, to where it's congruent and equal or better than what we're seeing.
Essentially, all those key indicators you're seeing on this dashboard, you can really paint a picture of how a department's performing by using deductive logic and taking those key indicators, and you can say, okay, we see opportunity cost here, we see opportunity cost there, mainly in the supplies like we talked about, because the base rates and the mileage are regulated by the state. So that's where we come in and we say, okay, let's look at your supplies, your fee schedule, your procedures, things like that. And compare it to what you're doing now, compare it to what everyone else is doing. And so that's where you'll see the fourth bullet point down where it says key performance indicators, it says see attachment. We start listing some of the changes we saw when we evaluated the numbers that came from prior years, for what it's worth, previous billing company, to what our average client that we see is across 15 clients in Utah and one in Nevada. That first one being charges per transport. So the first thing we saw, and this is what we approached Chief Beecraft and Chief Williams with, was we immediately saw that there was an opportunity cost for just charges per transport in general. Based on our analysis, the average charges per transport previously for 2022 was about $1,449 per transport. So we essentially review the fee schedule. We say, look, we see you need to be here, here, and here, essentially to be ballpark with everyone else. After looking at that, conservatively, when we initially met, we guessed about $400 opportunity cost per transport, which then you multiply that by 1,900 or however many transports it is a year, and it adds up really quick, right? It's like a compound effect. So, and then we actually just dug into the numbers again yesterday, and it's actually about a $700 difference. So we're talking about a $700 difference in charges per transport compared to 2022. And that $700 isn't a fantasy or a hypothetic. That now that we have onboarded North Davis, charges per transport, you can see on that dashboard, are at 2,120, 2.12 thousand, that top right number on that dashboard. So that's what we're currently now charging.
That's a big change in number, but when we look at it compared to our average charges for transport for all of our customers, which is $2,360. So what we're doing is bringing you up into the norm, which typically in our world, you charge it, then you have contractual adjustments. We can talk about Medicare, Medicaid, accepting assignment. Typically in our world, about half of what we charge is contractually written off. Just right off the bat. I go into these meetings and I'll have some people say, your gross collection percentage at 40% is horrible. And I say, well, we have to write off half before we even get started. And then we work from the net number. So when we say you're up about $700 for transport, we're going to adjust off about half of that. And then we hope to collect 70-80% of that net amount in our world. So we also monitor and track all this. This is all of our clients. And when you see all green and the arrows pointing up, that means all of our clients across the board, their numbers are up. And Cody's done some analytics about usually when we onboard a new customer, they experience what was the percentage growth in the first year?
Usually when we onboard a client, within the first full year of implementation, revenue increases about 20% on average across all 15 of our clients. And then our average annual growth rate, our AAGR, is about 10 to 12% across the board, recurring revenue increase year over year.
That was one of my questions, Chief, when we went down this road, was making sure that that increase still kept us within regional averages, that it wasn't looking for the equivalent of a price inflation, rather the appropriate capture and the being more accurate in our billing, in our assessment of the actual time expenses, supplies that were being expended, and that we could, that was defensible, to any resident, anyone that would want to be oversight and look at when you're looking at a meeting like this, where you're saying, we're getting this much more for
it helps as well if someone's been transported by a neighboring agency, and if there's a massive discrepancy in what they're being charged, people are going to go, what's going on with this department versus this one? So it kind of helps to have them all be UCR, usual, customary, and reasonable as well.
And so what we'll do when we sit down, we're not just going to do the billing. We'll sit down and say, here's your numbers, and here's how they compare to everybody else. Let's look at your supplies. The state change every July 1 changes the base rate for your ALS, BLS, and so on and so forth, and the mileage along with that. So that's kind of built in as an inflation factor. It's usually about a 5% increase year over year with the state. The largest one I've seen in all these years was a 14% one. It was probably 8 or 9 years ago. So they're watching that as well. They have to fill out what's called an FRG, a fiscal reporting guide, which is a simplistic P&L on how your department is doing. And then they use that to basically at the state level say, well, yeah, let's increase the rates or leave them the same. So
real quick though, brought up the state one. In the last couple of years, as we've started to see, record inflation and gas, stuff like that, has the state's adjustments annually been commensurate with where the fuel costs are landing for departments, or are they still lagging significantly?
What the state did is they had a fuel surcharge. They came out and said, if your cost, now, not my cost, I drive a F-350 diesel, so like my cost is more than your cost because I'm sure you're not having to pay the taxes on it. But if your cost for diesel, for example, exceeds this, then
it was $5.13, and there was a 25-cent surcharge.
You could put a surcharge per gallon in, and we actually had most of our clients call us. First of all, we don't play with your dollars and your money. We're not going to automatically assume that you're paying more and change it. Much like when the base rates come out, a lot of our cities have it written in their city ordinances that we will automatically adopt. some of them have to go to council and they vote on it, and then they actually let us know, okay, it's time to change. We authorize the change in the base rate. So
we automatically, in our language.
Right. I just want to make sure that, I mean, the entire reason we went into this was is to accurately recover our costs and, you know, to that we're having an area field that we were still lagging behind on.
So we monitor all of that stuff and we advise. We make Domo available. We try and be transparent. Every week we send a deposit summary to the admin that basically is a reconciliation sheet to the penny of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday charges, all the debits and credits, whether your accounts receivable went up or went down for the month. This is a report card on us and you every week. And then we do all of the money that comes to us goes into a trust account, Bank of Utah. We sweep that account, do an ACH transfer into your account. Every week, the Medicare, Medicaid, some monies automatically go into your bank account. We just get the EOB so we can post the patient credits and account for it. So one of the other key indicators is I talked about a pipeline and filling the pipeline with charges. The back end of that is money. Our job is to turn those incidents into money for you guys.
Right now you see those gross and net collection percentages really low because we have this influx of charges, right? And now we're waiting, obviously, for, there's been some delay with the previous billing company. They're still getting a lot of the payments, and so we're working it out with them to make sure the payments get sent to us. The insurance always lags behind to get the remittance address changed so that we start getting the EOBs and the money as opposed to the previous billing company.
What's the average turn time on that when you onboard a new client to get kind of that pipeline running?
At least 90 days, if not 6 months.
Okay.
I was going to say 6 months-ish.
Yeah, just to give you that.
Yeah, just to kind of get the pipeline flowing out the other side of the dam, if for what it's worth.
You know, we do all the paperwork. There's a 86-page document for CMS, Center for Medicare Medicaid Services, that you have to fill out and say there's a new sheriff in town and our new remittance address is this, at this company as opposed to the old. That usually takes 60 to 90 days for the feds to do that part of it. Frankly, the slow ones are the ones the individuals sometimes the Aetnas and some insurance outliers. Even though our claims go out with the new address and remittance address, they have on file the previous one. And so we've identified there's now monies that we're generating that are going to the old billing company. And their job is to send them over to you folks. We get the EOB, so we post it, but they're already giving you the money. So you've already got the money. We just need to make sure the patients get credited properly for that. So we keep track of that receipts per transport. Payments per transport receipts. So in our world, I'm going to tell you that last year, amongst all of our clients, the average is about $800 per transport. So I think you guys were in the 500 and something with Iris. So your pipeline, and this year it's up to 875, or about a 9.67% increase in receipts per transport. And we're going to monitor that and watch that for you. We fully expect you guys to climb up into that area. I really think, and we did some projections based off of all these numbers of where we think you'll be in the year, and we'll be happy to sit back here in these seats and, you know, look at it and say, guess what? You know, it's happening and this is where we're at. So that's kind of an ambulance billing 101. Transparent. My personal philosophy is the more that you know, the more that they know. We have staff. Amber, her husband, came down to our office. They can tell you about that experience. But we want everybody in the process all along the way to know who's responsible it is for certain actions and certain activities and what the results are or should be expecting on that. And we're already seeing the results of, obviously, of where the old pipeline was $1,454 for transport. It's now up to $2,100. And that has to equate to money.
Thank you.
That's my spiel.
Anything from either the chiefs or Misty or Amber or anyone?
No, just one important aspect is, you know, they're doing a great job, but what are we doing in-house? So I think we've discussed this before, by having the QA, QI, working better to get reports done accurately, timely. That's the stuff that we're doing in-house, which is also helping with the collection as well. So that's what we're doing in-house, trying to do a better job of reports and QA, QI, making sure we're not missing things. That's, sorry, quality improvements, quality insurance. So we're required to do that. Some departments choose, battalion choose, firefighters, but until someone puts an eye on it, and Amber's really done a phenomenal job, and we're very happy with that aspect of it. We're doing everything we can in-house to help supplement what they're trying to do as well. So
we're very transparent because we kind of ride the back of how the department performs, right, the department's success. So we're very transparent when it comes to, hey, we could get hospital face sheets in a more timely manner, or we're missing this and this and this, which is delaying the claims that we get sent out. So we definitely like to have a strong, healthy...
Or the patient address is general delivery in the John Doe.
Right. Yeah. This, that, and the other, yeah.
As far as our staff, office manager's been 30 years with us. I think our average tenure with our staff is 20-plus years, so they're very experienced in doing this. They've been doing it a long time. Typically, when we go out to meet with people on the way out, we'll say, how is so-and-so behaving? How are they performing? What can we tell them to improve, or pat them on the back? And so and we welcome anybody, anytime, to come and visit us and see the inside. I think Amber's husband got his eyes opened a little bit as an actual crew member and said, this is very valuable for me to see this, because we create a report and we send it off and probably never see it again unless we're yelled at because it's incomplete. But it's nice to see what we do and activities we do to turn that incident into money for you guys.
So. Could you walk us through just very briefly? Timelines as far as when we are able to start seeing numbers. I mean, we've got good projections. The nice thing is we've got so many comps, for lack of a better word, in the area. You know, so we know how this process works, and we're just barely into our pipeline. Timelines on when we start seeing, you know, anything that we can compare to almost like a year over year. You know, are we 6 months out? Are we 12 months out before we have really good to say, like, you know, we're past early indicators, but like this really is tracking the way we've set it up and the early indicators are driving.
Conservatively, I would say, so that's something that this Domo software dashboard does for us, is it's kind of bare because we obviously have very little data. But one of the things you'll see on there is it says PY, 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 and then it says change next to all those numbers. So one thing that's really cool about it is this data is uploaded into Domo every single week. The fire department has access to it. That PY is previous year. So for example, a year from, to answer your question, I would say conservatively, we've probably got to give it a year to really be able to see the difference.
Yeah.
And the impact that what we're doing is truly working. That PY is previous year. So every single week, the fire administration is going to be able to open that dashboard and go, okay, here's exactly where we are now. Here's what it was previous year to date. And then it says the change as well. So it tells you not only what it was last year, for example, but it tells you what that change is.
And I did analytics on the Chief Beecraft gave to me quite extensively on some spreadsheets. And I have a complete 2021 and a partial 2022 year here. And so I'll go in and look and say, well, take that year and divide it by months and weeks or whatever your barometer is. And it looked like about $23,000 a week is where we need to get to be equal with what you were doing before. I know it's going to go blow past that because of what we're already seeing in the pipeline. Part of the issue is we haven't identified what has gone to IRIS and they're sitting on. Because technically we billed it and they got the money, but we can't post it, therefore we can't report it. So 6 months to a year, you're going to, I know last week I think I saw $20-something thousand posted for the week. I get reports internally. I track all of this every week. I'm a bit of a nerd that way. But I track not only payments, but are they Medicare, Medicaid, private pay, are they VA, are they credit card? We track all your credit card payments as well. So, yeah.
The payer determines how long, I mean, the VA takes 6 to 9 months.
Sure, no, and I guess the reason I ask that is just at what point are the board, you know, is it, are we 6 months a year, 2 years out before this new system and the money that comes in becomes a number that we can comfortably plug in promptly by just saying.
Right, yeah,
that's
totally.
That's just, you know, rather than like, we think.
Something concrete, yeah.
I think by the end of this year, you'll see us ramped up to at least the previous numbers, if not before, and then beyond that. Probably by 15 to 20%, because there's a lot of opportunity left on the table with the previous building company. And I'm not going to bash them, but I stick my nose in business. You know, I'm a businessman, and I'll go in and say, well, and to Chief Beecraft's credit, he said, this is the first time in 13 years the building company has come in and gone to this detail and says, here's what's going on. So to his credit, he invited us in, he was open and receptive, and we said, this is what we see. And it doesn't just, we're not like a used car salesperson. You're going to see more of us, even though you're a client already. You'll see a lot of us. And that's our goal, is to put our nose in your business if you want it, and guide you down that path and make you efficient based on what we're already doing. Part of the process on onboarding new customers is they call our, chiefs are tight. They call other clients and say, how's First Professional treating you? And the fact that Ogden's been there 27 years or more than 20 years, it's a testament. And we're adding new clients, so you just have to be patient. I know it's tough to sit there and say, well, we're collecting 10% of what they built. It's compounded because what we're billing is more, so we're raising the bar while we're still trying to catch up, if that makes sense. So, any other questions?
We appreciate your time.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming up here.
I do have one. Sorry.
Oh, sure.
I would ask this question, and maybe you said it, and I hope I didn't dismiss it, but what's your fee roughly in this process? Is that
6.5%.
6.5% based on collections.
Just gross collections, yep.
So, and for that reason, that's a very great question. We're motivated to make you money.
Yeah.
We're riding your coattails.
Yeah.
And so we love it when we look at and see all of our clients are up 10%, you know, and what their revenues are, how much it's climbed. We're definitely motivated. Well, we're in this with you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We've had great compliments from you, from the chief, about your process so far and what you, as you mentioned, getting in and digging in. And that's great. That is what we need.
We're not here to embarrass or lay blame or anywhere.
No,
we come in and say, is there an opportunity cost here, and how can we help? And we'll dive right into that.
Yeah, we'll always make you aware of it. Some of our clients will bring it to their attention. They say, we're okay where we're at, kind of thing. But it's more that we make you aware, and then you decide whether or not you want to implement those changes.
Thank you. That's good.
Sure.
Anything else? Any questions? Okay,
well,
thank you.
Yeah, I just want to thank them for coming. We've been working, just wanted to bring up in the work session, you know, we've been working hand in hand with them. The whole team has. Me and Missy have been jumping through bureaucracy with Medicare and Medicaid. And,
it's never fun.
And
yeah.
Everything, but I think it's the dust is finally starting to settle, and we're on track and moving now, and it's looking really good, so.
Well, we appreciate your time tonight and the
sure.
101 primer on out.
It's
more
sure.
than I ever knew.
Don't ever get into the business.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Everybody get a business card if they want one.
Thank you.
I'm walking real slow, obviously.
No, that's a thing. You can even go back.
Yeah, take time on those crutches.
I'll grab your bag for you.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Chief, good to see you. Thanks, yeah. You want to put your vest on?
Yeah.
Can you reach back that far?
Yeah.
Your legs are messed up on my hand or so. I had my ankle fused
December 13th. It's nasty.
Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.
We're an open book. Anybody has all this in here?
Thanks, Darv.
Thanks, Chief.
That's impressive. Plus, you're crazy or doing really good.
Pain meds. Pain meds. Amazing.
Yeah, that's my for the other question. You're under the influence.
Okay.
Okay, so the rest of the time, we want to just take the opportunity to go over some things that are in the work and inform the board of what's taking place behind the scenes and go and actually get your feedback on some of it too. But so I kind of have a list of things. Number one thing is we're starting to dive into the tentative budget and preparing that. We're early on, as you're aware, with inflation, everything's changed, and we're working through that. Right now, we're in the middle of a wage study, and we decided to do another one this year because it's moving so fast, and we don't have final numbers dialed in, and the budget committee hasn't had a chance to look at them, but it's looking like everybody would think there's been a big shift again with the surrounding departments that we compare to. Hopefully the market this following year starts to slow down and change a little bit. I don't know, but we're looking at it, and we do it comparatively with we don't compare to the Salt Lake Valley or any, we compare to like departments right next door to us, and we plug in those numbers. Poor Misty, she's crunching them, but we're looking at it and all the way. But early data shows that there's a lot of these municipalities had a mid-year increase, then changed, and they jumped right past us. We were up last year when the board did that, but we'll be having those numbers and bringing those numbers to the board.
I wish there was something like in COG you guys could like get a truce called and talk to your counterparts in the different cities and just like, can everybody just be like, stop? It would be so nice to just say like, you know, because it seems like as soon as we got ours, the number done, we were hearing that you guys were already getting the phone calls as soon as we published and adopted our rates. Mm-hmm. Immediately, it's like every other jurisdiction started jumping past us. It's like, stop.
Within a week. Mm-hmm. Within a week.
And I had I didn't bring the stack of cards. I got them on my desk. But that goes with the employment. And I have a really thick stack of cards on my desk of the employees that we've just been through this year. And it's staggering. I've never seen anything like it. I don't think Chief Williams has either. And they're not leaving because they're unhappy or anything. It's just they're just moving. And I think you've done, what, two or three tests already this year to that's a stack of the employees we've been through this year.
You guys want Pokemon cards?
That's what I call them.
And it's just but if you go next door, well, we're a little bit bigger than some of our neighbors, but if you go next door, there's stacks like that too. It's not just us. So it's really kind of, it's difficult because that's $3,500 for each set of turnouts.
Well, yeah, I know you guys are still in the wage thing, but maybe could you just take, just for a minute and just say, you know, run, walk us through the reasons we're leaving, because we're losing them, and where they're going.
You don't have to give the name to the employee, but I mean, just... Chief, you can, he's been...
I mean, I've sat there and I've gone through it with you, but...
He's been wrangling through them.
Trying to shuffle.
This guy here was part-time, went full-time somewhere else. This guy went full-time.
Because we don't have...
Yeah, we didn't have it at the time. This guy went to a captain's position, full-time. And Clinton, he, they love it here. This guy here, Tyler Furlong, you guys knew him. He's an awesome firefighter. He just wanted to go full-time as a captain at South Davis Metro. He was already there. Cody Hansen, what's that?
I don't know.
Went to another department. Kelton Vine. Went to another department.
And look, this was paramedic school, and the other departments did early on promises of schooling. And so that took a few of them.
Cameron Cessna.
And you don't have to give like the name. I mean, they don't want to...
No, it's just...
No, it's the challenge has been, it's a difference. It's other departments will jump in pricing, so some people will leave. If it's a large jump, sometimes it's life change. So
yeah, like Holly.
Right. I mean, that's
so,
life
change. So sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Mayor, would it be, if I'm understanding you right, is it how many are we losing the wages?
Yeah, like just what are they
what
going
departments?
Like if
yeah,
are
losing
there,
to Clinton,
are the other departments
is it,
growing?
Is South Davis Metro? You know, like, who are the big ones that are poaching?
So I don't know specifics to you, but I can talk a little bit about the market. So first of all, everybody's short, right? The market, the number of employees has shrunk a little bit. And that means there's positions available everywhere of some kind. And that creates movement by itself, regardless of price and regardless of, but that's why, was it Holly that can find another opportunity in something? It might not even be fired in some cases, right? They're just choosing, there's opportunity because they're lacking. So if it was just that, then once in a while we're going to lose someone because they're choosing to make a life decision for opportunity. So that's one reason. But then you have the ones that are, especially the younger ones that are in, they're trying to make rent, and their rent went up like this, and they're going, man, I've got to go after every dollar I can because my rent's going up, and I can't even buy a 12-pack of eights, a dozen eights. We call them the 12.
Guys from the south, we call them 12 packs.
Anyway, and that's the other. And then you have the ones that are actually making, advancements, like the paramedics. And then, so I view it that there's three main categories there, and you can't control any of them. And so, unfortunately, we're in this game still for, it might just be always this way. We've been talking for the last 3 years. When is this going to settle down? It's not.
Well, the growth, right? Like, I think you've made some very valid points. Like, you look at the departments around us, they're growing. Out west, you go down to, we lost Missy down to American Fork, is that who she's with. Well, Utah County, we know, is growing exponentially. And so you spoke it perfectly.
So it creates holes in the system and creates movement, and we can't stop that. It's just natural that there's going to be movement.
Yeah.
Now, what can we do though? I mean, we need to do our wage study. We've got to make sure we've got our own incentives, and we have to have a really good culture, so that it's not always about just dollars. That they're happy because they like being here, not just because the dollars are better than.
Right. And you know what? And to that point, Gary, the board has done that. We have a good track record of doing that. It's just not necessarily unfortunate, but we're just didn't. I have to sit here and say we're in the same boat again this year.
Yeah.
I'll let you know where we're at. That's, you know what I mean.
I'd be surprised if you didn't, but we have to.
Yeah.
We have to own it.
But let me speak specifically of a few lately, like one. Was a family thing where his wife kind of gave him an ultimatum that the life of a firefighter is not easy.
Yeah.
And that was a big issue. He came and talked to us, and I think we've talked about this individually to you, but he was trying to decide, hey, I love you here. I love the brothers and sisters. I love doing this job, but I've got a spouse who gives me work or her. And we said, besides your fire chiefs and his husband, you pick your wife all day long. And his construction business was booming. We all know they're doing very well right now. So financially, he's like, I don't even do it for the financial gains. I just do it because I love doing it. So it's stuff like that. The economy is really doing well. I know you're all in different business. I think out there it's doing really well. So those who really want to be firefighters, they're looking at this like, do I really want to be up all night and see what I see? It's difficult. Where a lot of us come from different trades, like if you've ever done concrete or roofing like I've done, and he's like, man, being a firefighter is awesome. So to your point, it's a lot of different dynamics. But what I can say, what we're doing here is we are creating a phenomenal culture, a family, a great place to work. We're doing all that we can to control that. And we are in the details. Small things mean a lot to these. You've all got kids. It's the small things that mean a lot. So we're looking at every angle. We asked, we had a meeting with the chiefs today. Please tell us, are we missing something? So we're doing everything we can as possibly to do what we can to make them happy besides the staffing and what they make per hour, we're doing everything we can. I know you're doing the same. So it's just a different time.
Just out of curiosity, have we had any leave and come back?
Well, you've had one call.
Yes.
We've had a few.
We've had a few, just lately. Okay. So, which is good. This was the one where I think when I talked to you individually, where another department reached out and was talking to him personally. He ended up leaving and then called me back. We already filled the position to see if he could come back. So you could tell he was kind of he thought he left, and he's young. These are young kids, and you don't want to make them feel bad. You want to make them leave, help them leave on a good note and say, you're always welcome back. There's no hard feelings. So I think that's just the culture we have. They are family, and we treat them as such. So, but we have other problems where these young kids become firefighters and they don't quite know, because we're hiring young ones. They're coming out of the academy and they've never done this before, and we're very busy, and they get into it like, I've got a situation now where it may not be a fit. It just may not work out for them. And they don't know that until they come. So I've had a few of those as well. Where character-wise, you interview them, we've tried to create this process to filter that out, and sometimes you don't capture it until they're actually on the truck, and it just doesn't work out. So,
and unfortunately,
it's unfortunate, but...
Unfortunately, I mean, here, there's not a lot of time. You land on an ambulance or NDFD at Station 42, and you land running. You find out if you're ready for the job or not pretty quick.
And one was a bad situation that happened in our parking lot, I think you all heard of, that woke someone up real quick and kind of hit them real hard that maybe this isn't for me. And some it is and some it isn't. And our job was to put those players on the field if you want to turn to sports, so to speak. You're playing in the NFL, we have to have NFL players. It's just the way it is. When you call 911 or any of the citizens, that's the kind of people we got to have. So sad as it is, and we feel for them, but we also, it's our job to defend the department and to make sure those who call 911 have those proficient individuals who can do the job. So it's sad, but we help them as also. We've had one that resigned and have tried to help him any way he can to find a different employment opportunity. So, but anyway, I hope that answers the question. Hopefully it's not too long-winded, but.
Well, and there'll be some interesting things just to watch for next month when we bring out the first round of budget. Just that trickle effect, how that's hitting more than just wages and some of the other line items that we're making some early adjustments to. Things like the amount of money that we've got to put for turnouts has got to go up significantly because of the turn and how specific those are on that. You know, I mean, so some of those just responding to the way we're buying and supplying things is just has shifted and doesn't seem like it's going back anytime soon. So it's like, all right, rather than have to budget amend for that, I mean, we've seen this for the last couple of years, it's time to adjust that and park more money in some of these where we're seeing it.
And I would like to brag, we're having a lot of applicants, like we had one today, which is, we're having, like I think I had 10, and I turned down some, because I, part of it was when you do a testing process, it takes, it's like an all-day deal, and it's not just an interview. It's we have an interview process, we have a medical scene, we have a fire. We have to be able to, can you do an interview? That's character. Can we get to know you? Then we have a medical scene. Can you do a medical scene? And then there's a fire, which we had one, you found a fire, an applicant couldn't go up a ladder truck. That's an important thing you may have to do. And so these are part of the test. It's a long process, so I cap it at a certain amount, so it's not a two-day deal because we're paying overtime. So I kind of cap it. We filter to the applicants who we think is best, but we're really getting quite a few applicants. So that's a great thing to see. Whether they're qualified or not, that's up to us to determine, but that's still a good sign.
Some of the feedback, too, that the last year, though, with our paramedic program, and I knew this was going to happen, our paramedic program landed running, and we knew that we were going to have a busy rescue truck or whatever, and through the grapevine, I've heard people, you know, they jumped, and they went to Clinton, or they went to Syracuse, or different places like that, and I've had our medics come back and say, man, I wish at the district, we don't even go on any calls over here. You know what I mean?
We just hired a part-timer from Farmington that worked here, Nate, is it Judson?
Judson.
He's loving it. He's like, the difference, like, it's great, I'm a medic, I went there, but they paid me a lot just to come on board, but now, like, I don't get to do the job. But I think all of us inherently, like, you want to work and do it well. Like, maybe you got into it for the wrong reason to be slow, but we're finding people are really drawing here because of that really good balance of busy and everything else we've talked about. But it's kind of cool. And we've topped out at our part-time. Like, we went from, I think, 10. I've got 15 now. That's where we've kind of capped it financially-wise, where we think it's great. So we're just, things are looking really up for those who are applying. And we've turned down part-time, right? We just don't have the room. So, which is good. I think that's good, meaning I think the word's out in the street that this is a great place is what I'm trying to brag about.
So. I normally wouldn't interject, but these two have done a great job with the morale of the department. The crews, they really, I've seen a big change. It's been really good. There's a different feel. There really is. And these two have done a great job.
Buy them Nerf guns.
Nice.
Just kidding.
So we're on that, and then just to go along with that,
thank you, Mr.
We are updating the CIP, which the board has been privy to, and you know that's kind of a fluid document, but we're updating it to actually reflect exactly what we've done. For example, we purchased the air packs and bought the box truck and different things like that, and we're projecting with that, just an update. We had to order our ambulance that we were supposed to get in fiscal 24, but I ordered it, we're not going to get it till fiscal 25. That's how far out they are. Our aerial truck, we had to order, it's 40 months out. And they don't charge to order it. You don't have to put it down, because if you don't, they lock you in on the price. But if you don't want it, fine, we'll sell for more now to somebody else. But that's what you had to do. So we're staying on track with the fleet schedule, and we'll be coming with the tentative budget with recommendations for the board to take a look at the fleet schedule and also look at allocation for capital for that account. Dispatch there's been meetings going on behind the scenes for a long time. It's actually going really well. Just wanted to update the board for those of you that may not. I think your cities probably have let you know what's going on with dispatch, but I've been attending all the meetings, and our chair has also attended some, seeing on the fire side what the fire agencies are doing. Well, fire and police. And it looks as though Clearfield is going to be going, I think they're shooting for a physical consolidation by July 1.
I don't think we'll get physical quite that quick, but soon.
You're moving towards it, yeah.
It'll take, well, because it'll take us longer to get a joint resolution together, an interlocal agreement together. That's what I was looking for, between us and Layton and the county. Because we're all going for Layton, so.
And so that's where the district and I, we have found ourselves, it's not a quandary, it's just that 95% of our 911 lines go through Clearfield. And actually, when they were looking at consolidating or even virtually, it was a great idea. But for the district, us following Clearfield, it would have been my recommendation anyway, but us following Clearfield with whatever Clearfield did would have been the best for the service our district. But anybody that was that entertained and talked early in the talks was the fact that if Clearfield went to Layton, Syracuse, Clinton, everybody was following, and I think they are eventually.
It won't be an option.
Yeah,
because the county's going to go.
Right.
And it's not that everybody's going to Layton, it's we're going to form an interlocal agreement as their new building is built that will house one unit. It'll house a North Davis dispatch.
Yeah.
And it will give better service to everybody. I mean, the devil's in the details. It's how we get to the end of that. There's still differing opinions of how certain things look, but overall, that's what everyone's in agreement that this is what will happen. I think there's a good chance you'll bring a couple of South Davis entities on board as well. If they jump, Bountiful will jump as well, or they'll be left on their own because they'll be the only group down there.
And those, and all of you, most of you have been in some of those meetings. It's very, and for me, I sit there, like I've had conversations with, I've got a very good relationship with the sheriff and Sunset PD and Clearfield PD, Kelly. And like, I can't speak for your police department, but I can speak for example, West Point. I'm a West Point City resident, and Davis County's my dispatch for police. It was a weird situation to be in, but when the RFP went out and the RFPs came back, it also was looking to possibly be a little bit less expensive.
I'd say the long and short of it is it should be less expensive for the district. And for Clearfield.
And better response. We had a situation where there's a big dispatch mix-up on a pregnancy. And so for us, it's huge for us.
Yeah.
Timing-wise for the citizens, I mean, you're talking 5 minutes before it can even get sent out, and 5 minutes is critical. So this is a big win for, I think, all of us who are first responders, police and fire, to help serve the public better. And that's really the driving force of all of this, is better service.
Yeah, and that's what we explained to the mayors last night at COG, is that that's why we're going this direction. The money is a big thing. I mean, obviously, if it's less expensive for all of us to run dispatch because we're under one dispatch, that's great. But the number one thing is, how do we take care of our residents?
Right.
And we've got multiple examples through the police department of South Clearfield End, down Nika's End, where Syracuse and Layton and Clearfield all come together, and a call goes out and pings off the wrong cell tower, and ends up
in the wrong city.
It ends up at the county because it was being dispatched from Syracuse. And all of a sudden, it's routed to the county, and then it's transferred back to Clearfield, only to realize that it was actually in Layton.
Right.
And now it's transferred from here to here. And I mean, what a horrible response time. And how do you explain that to residents? Well, just give me 2 minutes.
Right. But I applaud the different cities for taking action on it, because coming from Weber County, I came over here like, this is bizarre. Like, I've never seen. So really, I applaud all the city councils and who's been involved to push this through, because it is going to be great.
I applaud the sheriff. The sheriff is actually, you can say that with the paramedic service as well. Him being open-minded and wanting what's actually best for everybody or whatever, and not being territorial, I guess, you know, I think a lot of stuff wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for the sheriff.
I told the mayors last night, it's really good to see pride put aside, because we could easily look at this as Clearfield and say, no way. You know, we've done this for ages and ages and ages, and yeah, it costs us more, you know, it costs us money to do it, but it's ours. And that's what we're getting out of the other end of the county is, no, it's ours. And we're not, you know, this is what we're doing it our way, and this is how it's going to go. And it's just been very refreshing to see even the county say, you know what, we can do this, you know, up here and put us together all as one and actually serve us better. And we can take care of people a lot better. And we should be able to take every dispatcher from the county and every dispatcher from Clearfield and move them all.
Yeah, nobody loses their jobs. Yeah.
So I'm understanding from this that our weirdness here in West Point will go away because the county and the dispatches are all together, so it goes there, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, when you talk about an interlocal agreement, is a district a party to the interlocal agreement? We're a taxing agency. We're not a municipality, a special service district.
Yeah.
Are we a party to the interlocal agreement?
Yeah, it'll have to include the district because the district's a paying customer.
Right.
It'll be.
No, it will. In fact, talking with Kelly, I think the district actually almost will be piggybacked in with Clearfield's interlocal because we have to. Right. There's no other.
Because of the current dispatch situation?
Yeah.
But I agree with that, but I do want to make sure the district plays its proper role as a special service district, regardless of where we're currently getting dispatched and is at the table as a participant.
Yes, we have
been.
Does
that
make
sense?
We've been
trying to control that. You have been, but I mean, you're tragically there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anybody's little brother.
No. Right now, all the city managers have been involved, including the chief.
Right.
Okay. And so everybody has had a seat at the table to make sure this comes together.
And in fact, not only that, but we will sit on the boards, on committees.
You'll have a
dispatch.
Okay. You'll have a governing, just a board of directors, and then you'll have an executive board.
Yeah. So
and so the executive board will be made up of, in my conversation with at least Bob, because I mandated that it be elected officials.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, thank you for that. That was an interesting conversation.
I agree.
I told Bob there's no way on earth that Clearfield ever signs off on this unless it's an elected official sitting in the executive committee. That's a taxing situation.
Right.
Even though they're not physically going to tax, it has to come through Layton. We're still controlling money, and it better be an elected official. And so you'll have an elected official from Clearfield, an elected official from Layton, and an elected official from the county as mandatory seats, because those are the three dispatch centers right now. Then there'll be two or three others that are
elected officials.
They will also be elected officials, but that will be decided by the board or by the cities as to elect the.
And that's where I think it's a big deal. I'd actually like to see that modified to where the district has a seat where we have three major cities coverage there, but I guess
Clearfield will take it because of the dispatch, only because we have the dispatch now. And so the three that are giving up their dispatches will have automatic seats at that board.
But to answer your question,
then the other board, the actual day-to-day operations board directors of the district, however you want to call it, will be represented. In fact, it's all the fire chiefs and fire and police chiefs.
Okay.
That's who will make up.
Fire and police chiefs will help with protocol operations.
Great.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. We're large enough. We need a seat at the table in an appropriate way.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. So thank you. That's
And actually, they have. I've been in these meetings. Well, I've actually been in these meetings for the 13 years I've been here.
Yeah, I know it.
I'm always. In fact, Aaron's going to a dispatch code meeting next week for us. We sit right at the front table because what our thoughts were as a district were, you know, 5,000 of their calls.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just funny because all you're talking about is where does the phone call go? It's if it's going to one of three places or if it's just going to one. It's
right.
Just who, someone's picking up that phone and has to be able to know that that address is Syracuse. We're sending Syracuse out there, or we're sending the county out there. That address is in West Point. Well, then this is who's taking care of it.
Yeah.
And I think that this grew, or I mean, for those of you that have been here a long time, I don't know if this is any one agency's fault. This has just kind of grown over the years.
Yeah. No.
Well, ultimately, this came to the legislature saying, you have a problem. And again, when we talk about what is the ultimate problem that the legislature was trying to resolve, part of that would be fixed with the virtual, but it really doesn't fix it. It's still having to transfer calls. It's still how many calls in Clearfield get transferred. We are so far off the chart in number of calls that we will never meet the state's qualification because of our situation and where things are, and that we're having to transfer to other cities. We're having to transfer to other dispatches just because it's not ours. It might be a Hill Air Force Base. Now what do you do with it?
I think it's actually, and it comes down to, and I think everybody's on board, it's the right thing to do. I always said this, and they do this in the Salt Lake Valley. If, like for example, I spent a whole career in Roy turning around at 6:50 to catch a northbound call.
Uh-huh.
That's not really the closest, Clearfield's fire station was the closest unit to that call. But the system was so broke, even it still is this way. In fact, if we have that situation arise right now, dispatch has to physically call Weber Dispatch, ask them if there's, first of all, is Roy's fire department, are they at that station? If they are, send them to this call. Well, by the time you do all that, never mind.
Yeah, the car blew up at that point. We're done.
Yeah. So, but when I was in Murray, I was at 80 or 45th South. We went northbound clear into the Spaghetti Bowl, clear into South Salt Lake. That's the closest. And we should be going south into Layton,
yeah,
on the freeway. That's the
closest.
The other thing that this will really address and is a good thing is the redundancy, which right now Weber's redundancy, their backup is in Salt Lake. So, I mean, if Weber goes down, Salt Lake picks it up. This will allow Weber to have us pick up, and vice versa. So if there was a major natural disaster or whatever here, it would immediately jump over to Weber, and Weber would start taking our calls. And not Salt Lake. At least we're close enough to understand each other's areas. And
if we have one center, but right now, what will South be our redundancy?
No.
Oh,
they're
gone. I missed that?
South Davis would not be, that's what she was saying, is that she thought that was a great redundancy, but South Davis will not be big enough to cover the rest of it. We may be their redundancy, but they wouldn't be ours.
Oh, maybe that's what I heard. Then. Sorry.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, Mayor. I hadn't heard what Kaysville and Farmington were going to do.
They're going north.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So no Mason-Dixon line?
No, in fact, we got a list last night as to
Centerville South.
Centerville South. Those that are right now in the South Davis dispatch will stay there, with the exception of a couple that are starting to say they'd rather come north.
Yeah.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, Voldemort of the South.
Fruit Heights. And Farmington is serving Fruit Heights now.
Yeah. Farmington will come north.
Anyway, we're in the thick of that, but in our, just for your information, in our budget amendment that we're doing today, we had fees that we had to participate in the virtual dispatch chat update as our entity. Every entity had to do it. Other than that, want to go over the website real quick?
Sure. Before I start, I just want to, I think it'd be disrespectful not to thank the two people that's really done the work on it. That's Jamie and Misty. So thank you very much. Some of the great benefits that we're seeing is the efficiency. Before, how we were doing it, someone would call in and say, hey, I need to pay for an inspection. At that point, I'd say, hey, can you call our front office, see if they pay for it, then she'd let me know, hey, they paid for it, you can now schedule that. So the efficiency of this is really great. So I don't like that picture up there.
We really need a good looking picture there.
I like it.
All right.
Get a mustache and all that.
Oh. So quickly, let's just go to the fire marshal page. And this is, so the other benefits, yeah, it's great for us. It's great for us, but really what it's great for is a customer, right? Our citizens, that's who it's great for. They can now, we could quickly tell them where to go. They can get on. Let's just click on drop down box and how they can pay for an inspection. So this is now going off of the fee schedule that we approved. And then they can go in here and they click it, just click on one and show them how it's done. Then they fill all this in, so they'll fill in the amount based on what that drop down box is. What's really cool about this is once they fill this out, they pay for it. Two great things. It goes into our QuickBooks. So tracking the financial part of it is great. Like Missy doesn't now have to input it before. She had to input it manually, correct?
Yeah.
And so now it automatically goes into our QuickBooks, less time. Another thing it does, it notifies me that they've paid for the inspection. So rather than me having to pay, it's just, and then you forget. Like, it's trying to remember all this. So now I get notified. I quickly call the customer who needs the inspection. Say, all right, let's get one scheduled. So it's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think. So the other part, we talked about the permits that we approved into the fee schedule. Now, the permit's not generated from the website. Missy did a great job. We're trying to identify how could we create these permits. And permits, just quickly why they're important, is it gives them the approval to start work. For instance, I did an inspection on a daycare. I'm not going to say the name. I go in there, and they're doing work inside. So I said, do you have a permit, just like your city's, like a building permit? Yeah, we do. And do you have you're changing sprinkler heads. Do you have a permit? Oh, do I need a permit? Well, yes, I need to know that you're changing the sprinkler system. So it's part of the giving them permission. You're understanding where work is being done, and you're tracking it. I called the building department, Spencer and Beth, and it's like, oh, I didn't know they're building walls. I'm like, yeah, so we work together hand in hand. But what it does, it permits them to do work. I know I'm aware of it, and then there's a fee to that. You have to pay to do the work in the city. So you have to do a plan review. So you'll pay for the permit on here. The actual permit will come from our software that we already have. We're beating our heads against the wall, like, how can we get them? I want a physical permit. We should require them to have a real physical permit. We didn't have that before. So now we already have ImageTrend, which we do our medical report, inspections. It will generate a permit, which Jamie's working on the form, and it tracks the project. So I know when I do a plan review, an inspection, I now have the permit all in one system, where before there wasn't really no permits. So we've really come a long ways. We're still in the development. Jamie's done great work creating the forms and Misty, but this is just, it's great. And I think what's really great is for the customers, our citizens who, oh, it's easy, okay? And they get a receipt, because that's the other part. They need to have a physical receipt. So other than that, do you have any questions? I think we're putting pictures on there. I know I sent out that link yesterday. We'll post pictures on here. I know we have our Facebook page. Jamie, you want to go to that home and show? Yeah. She's already there. So we'll start doing more stuff like that. We need to create a drop-down page of Station 42 so that our citizens can get on to, hey, how's the building going? So there's a lot of great things. What's really nice about it is we get to kind of change things how we like and format it, and that's what Jamie's doing a real good job at. We can add things. We kind of control it, but there is work that's involved, but it's kind of cool. We can kind of tailor it to what we like. But other than that, I'm happy to entertain any questions. But the other benefit is the collecting. I've only been here a little over a year. I don't know what was done previously on the collecting aspect of the time. We talked about that. We changed the fee schedule to capture the services provided. And so we've already collected within a month. Mm-hmm. Are we over 2,000?
Over 2,000 your impact.
Yeah, and does it include an impact? You know, I don't say that with pride that we're charging, but we're capturing my time spent, and that's huge. And no one's having pushback. I mean, everybody's like, oh yeah, we'll pay. That's great. And I can't speak to what's happened in the past, but that's the other aspect is we're collecting for the time being put in, and we're doing a really good job of that. And that's just that's all of us in here being real diligent about, hey, you got to pay for this. I did a site inspection, which took me an hour and a half. By the time I went up there, talked to them, they just think it's inherently free. It's just what the fire department should do. You should just come up. Well, it doesn't. You're asking me to come up and see if this building, you can occupy it with a coffee shop. You can, but here's all my advice. You're paying for my advice, and then they'll be charged a second one for an actual inspection. But we never captured that before. So I'm just proud that we're moving forward, and you were a part of that as approving that fee schedule to allow us to do that. And this makes it an efficient way we can do that and collect it and make it more time saving for all of us. So it's really been great. And we're only really a month into it.
The other thing that's just an accounting thing that we found out too, it's really easy because the cost outweighs the fees, but we have the fees that we collect for any of this, they're restricted to code enforcement, pub ed, we have to actually separate that out. So it's just an accounting thing. It'd just be the fire marshal, including training and everything, will just have their own line item in our budget that will be way more than what the fees we collect, but still, it will show that they're restricted to that.
And there's a lot of classes that we go to and books you got to buy, NFPA. So all that was budgeted for, but now this is going to help with that financial piece of it, that we can finally start seeing a return back on the services that we provide them. So it's been really good.
I don't know if you guys remember the old website. Have you been on it? I mean, this one has been awesome. It just, again, service to our customer. I mean, the public notices are there. Code enforcement stuff is there. You know, when they're asking about burn stuff and when you can do it, I mean, you jump on there and it's...
Another great thing is the employment part. So we post it, like we're pretty good getting it out. Now they go straight. Before, it was a handwritten paper that I get, like I'm trying to read through, like if they fill out on the computer, sometimes they would. If not, they're handwritten. I'm like, now they go to the appointment, they apply, they could attach their certs, and I get notified, like I just told you, I got notification that someone applied today for the job. So, I mean, it really is great. And so, really, I thank everybody who was involved in that to get this. And I think we'll evolve and get even better and more efficient. So we're only into this a few months, so it's great.
Very cool.
So how are you educating the public that this is where they need to go now? Are you still having them come in the office, or are they finding that easy?
Well, most people, we direct them to that. Like, we're trying to direct them to the new website. Most people just try to Google it, and you'll find it.
Okay.
There are some who don't. There are individuals who do not want to pay on the phone. We had a gentleman, you probably know, I know Nika knows him. He didn't want to do that, so he came in, and we still deal with that. But before, that was happening all the time. Food truck inspections, and now they just get on there, they pay for it, and
You'll likely see us do a post of our new website on Facebook and Instagram to kind of get it thrown out there. I kind of wanted to kind of get an exciting thing with our social media committee in order to do it,
well,
to do that. But you'll see it soon.
And the cities are already, they're going to start directing any code enforcement or anything, that type of stuff.
We did change. So before, what we were doing as far as impact fees, the way it would work is somebody built a new building. There was a calculation, you know, for square footage for commercial. There's a different figure for residential. And how it would be done is they would send me the site plan. I would send them the form. They would fill it out. I would get it back. Then I would send it to the cities. Then they would fill in the permit number. Then they would send it to the so now... They were charging us, the cities were charging us different fees for them to kind of manage it for us once I did the figure. Now that's changed too, we've changed that. So we're going to do all of it in-house. We'll actually collect the fee, which is part of the impact. So the cities, we've taken it from St. Denise, Claiborne. And she's like, do you mind? Like, we can just handle it. She's like, that's great. So now we've created a fillable form, we'll fill it all out. All she has to do, we'll collect the money. All she has to, rather than route it to her and then back to us, that was another headache. Hey, did they pay Misty? Did Clearfield send you that? It was just a lot of work. Now we're doing that, and I just sent it one side. There's Jamie created a checkbox that says payment's been paid. I sent Denise, and it's off her plate. She fills in the permit number, the building lot, whatever that is, and we're done with it. So we're trying to mainstream, make it better for all parties involved. So things are improving. I think
perfect.
I captured all of it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
thanks for all the hard work. I've been not been able to help that much on that. I appreciate it.
All right, we have our roles. That's good.
The only other thing I had was a station update. Just want to let you know.
Handed your stickers out.
Yeah, I need to hand more of them out. So he's going to point his hand at me because we just went to our last meeting and they said, Happy Valentine's Day next year.
Yeah, they slid in on us and were like, come on, use the Christmas.
And there's just nothing.
I assume that's when we'd be there, yeah.
It's actually, as you can see, they're pouring footings and foundation and permits are pulled. They're going to be doing flat work. And the big holdup right now is, timing-wise, is electrical. And I think it's the electrical equipment, like the air conditioners and stuff like that.
Even the wire.
Even the wire. So you'll probably, I think you'll see the shell go up and you'll see the building go. It might even be landscaped before snow falls. But it won't be finished until about Valentine's Day next year. So
so I told Chief, like, for Christmas, you should, like, have, like, a sleepover. You know, just get them out of the racquetball building and just bring tents in and Christmas lights and be like, we'll run extension cords.
I don't know what they're going to do. They've gotten so used to it. I think they'll be a little bit shocked, like.
Oh, I think they'll be just fine. I think they will move over just fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there'll be any tears leaving that. They've been so good to run out of there the way they have, but I think they'll be like, yeah, we're good to have our own room.
Well, some of the challenges with that, we've had to put all the medical bags inside because you have medications and stuff inside. So they're bringing stuff in. We've had to come up with ideas to keep it somewhat heated inside. We've got these, so they've made some great adjustments to try to deal with the cold, and they'll have to do it again next year. This has been an exceptionally cold year, which is good, but they've been great about it.
In fact, we had a Chiefs meeting today with the crew that's up there, and I told them that, and I thought I'd, you know, get arrows, and they were like, it is what it is, Chief. We're all right. I mean, they were really good about it.
What a great selling point to new firefighters wanting to join us to be able to say, what other department do you get to go camping?
That's right.
Who's providing the tents?
That's right. Yeah. I mean,
and the sleeping bags.
Come on.
Or experience cabin fever. But me and Chief Williams meet with the contractors weekly to bi-weekly at times, and it's moving along fine now, finally.
Yeah. And that's why I sent you the link. I don't know if you want to look. I just know we talked about it. If there's something that maybe it's not transparent enough for you that you would like to see change, I'm happy to get with Hogan and say, hey, they would like to see this a little bit different.
Could you verify one thing? Because I'm hearing conflicting reports. Have permits been officially pulled for that building?
Yes.
As far as I know, yes. We kind of had to.
No, I see in the bill.
There was a little bit of a conflict with a third party reviewer that we had to work through, and that, you know, me and Chief, it went into different codes. And so there were some real meetings, and then we finally got worked. I think you were gone when I had the meeting.
I was gone when I had the meeting.
Because your father's passing. But so we as Aaron, we kind of had, like, worked with Beth. Hey, can you make an exception? Like, we understand this, but if you don't get this permit signed, we can't progress at this point. And so really, Clearfield City did a good job of working with us and changing the different, it was an occupancy classification and different firewalls, which added to the expense of it. So it was a little bit of disagreement. What is a fire station? It's not truly like an apartment. So we worked through that, but as far as I understand, all the permits were pulled and everything's smooth sailing. Because they normally will notify us if they get a hang up. And as far as I understand it, everything's golden. It's good.
The code. But you're recent.
Yes. That was a few weeks ago. And as soon as that got pushed through, they are doing it on Monday, Tuesday, pouring the footing. So, yeah.
The code doesn't address fire stations. So you have, they're not, you got guys that are living, you got a home next to a commercial garage.
Yeah.
So we got all the big wigs. We got a guy I know, WC3, Scott Adams, and he used to be a firefighter. So it just took a little bit of communication and polite disagreement, and then how can we move forward? And it was great. It was great.
They're in Douglas Hill, then.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
As we would expect you to. I mean, like, I should.
Yeah, so it's good.
Yeah.
Just wanted to, okay.
Any questions on the building or?
No, it's fun to see pictures from there, because when you drive by, it's, you see less of that.
They have the forms up today, so the foundation forms are actually up today, so. It's good.
It's good. I ordered the generator. That was a year out back when I ordered it, so that'll be here on time. Unless anybody has any other questions, Chair, I.
Let's take a 5 minute break, then we can jump into, someone, yeah, also move.
Move the adjournment out of our second work session.
Cool.
I need some.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, we do now, thank you.
Okay, there we go. I apologize, I forgot to look at our schedule, that's my oversight, for, the inspirational, there you go, the mayor.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight, grateful for the opportunity we have to meet together as administrative staff and as the board. Grateful for the opportunity we have to serve and to do the business of the district that needs to be accomplished this night. We're thankful ever so much for the firefighters and the paramedics and all the staff that work here, for the time, the dedication, and for their expertise. We are grateful for their passion and for the love that they express in their daily jobs and in each call that they take. We pray for their safety. We pray for the well-being of their families, that they may return home for them safely. Tonight we ask thee that thou help us to accomplish the business before us, and that we can do so in a timely manner. Pray that we may be able to understand the issues at hand and act and decide accordingly and responsibly. We're grateful again for all that thou blessed us with, and we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It was here.
It's around the corner.
It's around the corner.
Oh, sorry.
We can see it.
Sorry.
It's a really big one on the wall.
On the wall right there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you doing that for us. Other citizen comment other than people we know that are here to help present for us. So, Misty, I don't imagine you had anything coming online.
No, nothing did.
Okay. We'll go ahead and move on then. Next item is the consideration of the approval of the minutes from December.
Move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay, motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is.
I apologize.
Sorry. I didn't, and I didn't even double check. Thank you. Scott? I don't know if you piped in on that.
Aye.
Thank you. Let's see here, I lost my place.
Six.
Thank you. Consideration of the approval of the North Davis Fire District Financial Report.
Bills first.
Oh, bills, sorry. Six, I wrote seven. Thank you for December and for January. I need to up the, I'm thinking we need to go up a half step on these ones right there. Any discussion from you guys before? Any comments or?
On the bills?
Yeah. I mean, anything
on the finance.
I'll make a motion to approve the bills for December and January.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Scott, were you an aye? Scott?
Is it okay for me to ask?
We'll call it an aye.
Yeah. Okay. Scott?
Yeah.
Is it an aye to approve the minute or the bill?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to use a ruler. Consideration for the financial report.
Just a couple, just touch on it. So
So as you can see with ambulance revenue, we're moving along with that new system. And then property taxes, we're at almost 95%. We haven't got our final yet. So the only thing that I'd want to call out, and just something we're looking at, watching really closely at the Ports of Wareham, is the wages. I think we'll probably have to look at that at the end of the year with the budget amendment, with just the amount of overtime and part-time people. But other than that, we're looking good in all of our other categories. Does anybody have any questions for me on financials?
We had an interesting conversation just as a note when we're talking financials last night at COG, talking about taxes. We had the assessor, Davis County assessors, come present to us. Our valuation should be identical to where it was last year. So we'll see growth. Everything else should be the same. So you're not going to see a decrease in the value of your house. You're not going to see an increase in the value of your house. You're going to see a flat number from where it was January of 2022.
So did they talk about the timing? So for example, isn't the valuation as of January 1st?
Yes.
And so the taxing period we just ended was January 1st of 2021.
Yes.
Right?
No, 2022.
Yes, thank you. I'm off to you. January 1st, 2022, and then house values went, and then
Yep, and they are, and so they showed us, using those numbers, they are flat. The starting point and the ending point are the same.
That's great.
So they said, so your residents
should... actually worried that we'd still be on the upswing.
Yeah.
And enough that it would, even though we were on a downswing, that it would drive us all crazy because now we're going to be taxed on it anyway.
But that gives us a heads up as to how our valuations are going to look. We'll have growth. Anything that comes in for growth will be there. But our...
about the same.
Everything else should be about the same.
Very good. Good information.
Well, we're dropping off an RDA.
That's true. Yes, we are.
It's going to feel like Christmas the next couple of years as all the bars start dropping off.
2025 is a good year for the district.
We kind of hand them out like candy for a while. Like, yeah. You get an RDA and you get an RDA.
I'll make a motion to approve the financial report for the district. It doesn't have a date on it. The current one.
Is there a second? Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And Scott?
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye, aye. Thank you, Scott. Next item number 8. We have our audit presentation. And just to the board, again, we appreciate your patience as we have just had to shift gears. And we continue to wish Nicole and her family the very best in her recovery. And we appreciate John Richards, of course, helping us with that transition as well as we shifted and your outreach to the state and making sure that we were okay and that they were notified of our situation and kept us all in the clear as we kind of restart and move through there. So we appreciate your help with that, going through that process.
Thank you. So my name is Ryan Child from Child Richards CPAs and Advisors, for those of us that haven't met yet. We have worked on preparing the accounting and the financial reporting, the footnotes, the MD&A for the year end of June 30th, 2022. And of course, Heather Christofferson is here from Ulrich and Associates to report on the results of the audit. I'd like to spend a few minutes going through the financial statements and some of the highlights that she and her firm have issued an opinion on. I have it opened here up on the computer. It's on page 12. Page 12 is the balance sheet of the governmental funds prepared on the modified accrual basis of accounting. So on this particular balance sheet, you won't see any capital assets or long-term debt, but we'll be able to look at the more near-term inflow measurement basis of accounting. This balance sheet is separated by funds. The first column you can see is cash, the first column is the general fund. The first row is cash, unrestricted cash. So in the general fund at year end, there was $2,766,000 in the general fund. and going across in the local building authority, the debt service fund, those two both having $0 in unrestricted cash, while the capital projects fund had $461,000 in unrestricted cash at year end. In the general fund, you can see some accounts receivable. This is primarily the amount that was due to the district for medical services from Iris Medical at that point in time. Some prepaid expenses, which includes insurance and some prepaid purchase of equipment that came up to a total of $149,000. The intergovernmental receivables, which is primarily the property taxes that you just collected a few months ago. There was a lien placed on the properties as of June 30th, so the accounting standards state that we book a receivable and a deferred inflow of resource. So there's a large receivable here, but you'll also see a deferred inflow of resource about seven rows down, which is kind of like a deferred revenue. Restricted cash, which in the general fund is restricted as they are impact fees that have not been spent yet, $967,000. The local building authority has unspent bond proceeds of $9,120,000, or at least did at year end. The debt service had $58,000 in monies that are restricted for debt service purposes. And that puts your total assets, if you look at the column all the way off to the right, in total governmental funds at $18,528,000 at year end. The liabilities include accounts payables that are due to vendors for expenses incurred before year end at $129,000. Accrued payroll liabilities at $178,000. This is payroll for work that was performed in the month of June but not paid until July. And then that deferred inflow of resource that I was just describing at over $4.5 million. The difference between the assets and the liabilities are reported in the fund balance down below. The fund balance in the general fund totals $3,988,000, which includes $149,000 of non-spendable money. Those that are restricted for impact fees at $967,000, and the unassigned fund balance at $2,870,000. The local building authority has had over $9.1 million in unspent bond proceeds, the debt service at $58,000, and the capital projects fund had $461,000 of money that was assigned for capital projects purposes. So that is a snapshot of the assets and liabilities at June 30th, 2022. Two pages over, we can look at the changes in fund balance in those funds, with revenues being at the top of the page. Property taxes in the general fund was $5,816,000. You can see the ambulance revenue, just under 1.2, impact fees, and some other income, putting total revenues at $7,258,000. The expenditures are then separated into the current operating expenses, if you will, with salaries and benefits and emergency services separated by function. And then debt service payments, including interest and issuance costs, and the capital outlay, putting total expenditures in the general fund at $4,856,000, including $126,000 in debt service principal payments. In the LBA fund, you can see some pretty large expenditures there, at $1,240,000 on principal debt service, a little bit of interest, and issuance costs, and capital outlay at $403,805. One of the primary capital outlay services there was the engineering services, the professional services to get the building up and going. Going down a little bit further, there is the section called Other Financing Sources and Uses. You can see the contributions to other governments. You were just talking about the RDA money This is the amount of property tax revenue that does not come to the district, but goes back to those RDA funds. And then in the general fund, you can see the transfers out, $578,000, of which $341,000 went to the debt service fund, and $237,000 went to the capital projects fund. And then, of course, the other financing sources and uses, which are the debt proceeds for the, including the par amount of the bonds plus the premium that was received. Altogether, if you look at the third row from the bottom, you can see the net change in fund balance in the general fund at a positive $1,340,000. The LBA is a new fund, $9,129,000. The debt service fund at about break even, and in the capital projects fund, expenditures exceeded the transfers in by $268,000. Anybody have any questions about these two pages before I move further down? Okay. So the statements end a couple pages later and are followed by a lot of footnotes describing the accounting policies and providing details behind the assets and liabilities within those financial statements. Share with you, there's a table supporting the detail behind the receivables that I just went over on the financial statements on page 24. The amount that was due from user fees, property taxes, current, so this is the money that was received in June by the county but remitted to the district in July, $112,000. The deferred property tax, and some impact fees that were collected by surrounding cities but not remitted to the district until July. You'll see a schedule of capital assets on the next page, page 25. A new GASB standard became effective, GASB 87, which now requires the capitalization of lease accounting and a further description of assets called intangible right to use assets and associated accumulated amortization on those assets. So there is a reclassification column in this table that you won't normally see in most years. I'm going to come down to the budget schedule here, as it provides a little bit more detail for the general fund revenues and expenses compared to the budget, both the original budget and the final budget. I know I'm going kind of fast. There we go. All the way down on page 39. The first column shows the original budget that was approved for the general fund, showing total revenues at $6,124,000. The final budget, after the amendment, brought it up to $6,826,000, and the actual revenues were $7,258,000, all of those revenues were above the budget, but you can see that the primary player there was property tax revenues. The expenditures, you can see a similar thing, with, of course, salaries and wages, and employee taxes and benefits being the largest expense in the general fund. And the original budget, the final budget, and then the actual, putting actual expenditures, $424,000 below the final budget. And once again, you can see the contribution to other governments, the transfers out, and those, the increase in the fund balance at the end of the year at $1.39. There are no questions or comments. I can't really move to the next item. That's for you guys to do, sorry. Any questions or comments for me?
That's great.
Great.
Very unique year.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if everybody else is speechless. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I'll just add to that that not sure what that noise is, but, but to thank you guys for this and all your efforts. And as Nika said, I'll second that. This is not a simple thing to get to this point. We appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
And your efforts to get us to this point. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second for the body. Final call for discussion, if not. All in favor?
Aye.
Another roll call.
Aye.
Thank you, Scott. Okay. Thank you again to both of you. We have a come and present that to us tonight.
It's a resolution.
It's not a resolution.
All right. Next item we have is item number 9, discussion and consideration of resolution number 2023R-01, which would amend amending the fiscal year 2023 budget. Pass this item. Chief, did you want to give any background on that? If you were chief one.
I could do that. I'm looking for the budget amendment here. Sorry.
Did you equal? Four. Bottom line.
So we talked with our treasurer and as the board was aware, we had those major vehicle repairs last fiscal year that carried over into this year. So we're asking to amend $55,000 into vehicle maintenance, $268,000 correct, Misty, to from capital projects for the air packs, because we had already budgeted $50,000, right? We'd already budgeted $50,000 in there, so that if the board remembers, we actually anticipated the air packs being $375,000, but since we purchased them, we got those 2-for-1 deal on the bottles.
Any discussion?
I move to approve resolution 2023 R-01 amending the 2022-2023 budget.
Well, we need to do it.
Oh, we've got to do a public hearing. Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't have any fun. Okay, we'll go ahead then and declare the public hearing open. It's just not a sense when we get out.
Seeing no comments, Chairman, I would make a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay, we have a motion in a couple seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now you have my
aye.
Okay, so we have a motion from Mayor Shepherd.
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, a motion and a second on that. Roll call. Scott?
Yes.
Mayor Shepherd?
Aye.
Mayor Vincent?
Aye.
Gary?
Yes.
Annette?
Yes.
Vern?
Aye.
Thank you. It passes. Yeah.
Chair, I'm sorry. I didn't get this. Who was the second on that?
Annette.
Annette, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're unanimous on that. Thank you. I can't believe you just one time the sure,
the affirmative.
The affirmative. Okay, there we go. It works either way. Okay, next item then is consideration of the assigning of board members to the budget committee. And this I just find hilarious because we talked about it last time and everyone's like, hard pass. Don't tap me, don't do whatever. But we've still reached out and also in trying to. One, just make sure we have representation from all the cities, but then also recognize that at times of year for work and employment, that there's kind of crazy scheduling for that. So in trying to weigh that and get one from every city, but I'm going to throw these out for consideration, but if anyone wants to challenge or put their name back forward, but this is going based on like a lot of crickets and a lot of please don't talk to me requests on that. So. From Clearfield, Vern Phipps had indicated a preliminary willingness to do that. From West Point, all of you guys have been awesome, but again, we're trying to recognize schedules and you know, tax season right there. Mayor Vincent had said that he'd be willing to do that.
But I am willing.
If you wanted to, yeah.
Either one of you two do it.
We need one from the city. So again, if you guys would like to even talk amongst yourself, we did not have a lot of jumping at takers and some, again, to come. Okay, so you do. Okay. Well, again, we had that because from our friends in Sunset, there was a reluctance from anyone in Sunset to be willing to do that. So that's why, at West Point, we have two.
That's fine. I'll be advised.
I want to.
You sure?
I've done it so many years.
I say, it was more like, please don't pin it on me. It was the collective vibe you got on there. Yeah.
It's a good experience. That's right. That others can do.
Amen.
So again, that put it with Mayor Vincent and Annette from West Point and Vern from Clearfield. And again, Sunset had declined across the board to participate in the process. So that invitation was extended there. So any concerns?
No, that's a good, what's it called, budget board?
Yep.
There you go.
That's a good board.
That works.
Okay. Misty, procedurally, what do you need? Just an on record? I mean, like, it's not like a...
Yeah.
It's just more like we put it on record.
Yes. I guess I would ask if anyone's opposed to it, maybe,
okay.
Just to make it clear.
Scott, opposed to that at all?
I approve. That would be awesome.
Okay. He's totally fine with the rest of you guys taking it, so. That's, we appreciate that, though. Okay, item 11 then was a consideration of another resolution. This one is number 2023R-02, the Auto Aid Agreement between, I love this, the Secretary of the Air Force acting by and through the Commander of Hill Air Force Base. The interlocal with Hill. Chiefs, I'm not sure which one of you have.
I read through it. None of the language has changed. This is actually, as you're aware, we have the 50-year ones with the local, but the Air Force is different. We have to update these all the time, so it's more procedure.
Okay, any concerns on just the standard renewal on that?
If there's a concern, do we have to take the Secretary of the Air Force?
Probably. I hear the mayor will be there next month. At the Pentagon, so you should ask him.
Do you have a concern with that?
No, not at all.
If not, I will make a motion then that we approve resolution number 2023-02, approve the automatic agreement with the Secretary of the Air Force.
It's fancy.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a second from Gary. Again, a roll call vote. Scott, we'll start with you again.
Yes.
Thank you. And we'll mix it up. Vern?
Aye.
Annette?
Aye.
Gary?
I'm voting in the affirmative.
There we go. Mayor Vincent?
Aye.
See? There we go. I applaud the creativity. Thank you all. That was unanimous. And updates from the chief.
Just a few things. Once again, thank you for the new SCBAs. We received them, trained on them. The guys, they're in service. They're amazing. I want to thank the board for looking out for us and our safety. It's great. And the caveat to that is I reached out to rural Utah through the state chiefs to find some departments that may need or use our old air packs. I surplus them. We don't sell them. We just want to help out, you know, another fire department. It ended up being able to give half to San Juan County, right down in the corner, that landing.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the other half to New Harmony Special Service District, Fire District.
Where is that?
That was great.
St. George.
Okay.
Yeah, they're right by St. George. Other, just FYI, in our capital, our existing capital budget, within the parameters of our capital budget, we're going to need to reallocate some of the money from the AV projects and that to upgrade our radios, our UCAN P25 radios, reallocate some money to purchase some of them. However, I just wanted to let the board know we're staying within our budgeted in those line items. And then also, I wanted to just let you know, right now myself and Chief Williams are talking to Stryker. You've seen our yellow gurneys that we put in the ambulances. They're very expensive and they have auto loads and they have programs out there. We're due to with the ambulance that we're purchasing, we expect for an auto load, but we're looking at the possibility of moving to an auto load type system that saves our firefighters' backs. And I think it's a lot safer for some of the diverse employees we have with, and patients are even heavier than they were 10 years ago. So.
Do you guys know what that is? Like, okay. Okay, so it's a gurney. We have the power goes up and down, but this, there's a power load that goes inside the ambulance, like this long, kind of like a, yeah, anyway, it comes out, grabs the gurney, you push it up, and you can, you don't take your hands off it, but it pretty much does all the lifting for you. So they're amazing. We're one of the very few who does not have them. Partially was city's got the, what money
ARPA
was it?
ARPA and CARES Act.
That's how a lot of the cities purchased them, where we didn't get that money. So we think it's something great that we need to start looking at to really help with the back end, where there's patients falling off. So we think it'd be a great asset to the department if we can somehow financially afford them. So.
And we're looking into it because they have programs like the board. You know how we bought all those old monitors? We bought five of them on like a 5-year program and whatever. We're just actually early on in this, just looking at it to see if it's a possibility for us, for our employees. And then, Darren, you just had a couple things, I think, didn't you?
Oh, no, we're just, I know we talked to each of you, and we appreciate your time about the staffing crisis, and we're still trying to work. I don't need to talk about it anymore. I think we've talked extensively to each of you with it. But we're trying to see how we can accommodate to maybe potentially bring on more staffing to help with that issue. And so if right now we're in those planning stages, and later on we'll try to present ways that we're going to try to fund those positions. But that's just right. We're in the works of that as well, seeing how we can do that, knowing that we're continuing to deal with the staffing. It really compounds the department in every aspect. Some of the areas that maybe wasn't discussed is when we've during the onboarding of the paramedics, you take these individuals who are on the ambulance, and now they've moved and shifted because we brought in paramedics. We hired a few from the outside, but that's created, as they shift from the ambulance, they move on now to a whole other area, which causes shortages. And I don't need to talk extensively with the training and schooling and how we try to manage all that. So we're just working hard to see how we can present something to you coming in July, how we can fill those staffing needs, which will be greatly help the department in rendering the services that we need to do, pretty much putting people in the units that we have. So we're working diligently to try to work on that. Anything else you'd like to?
That's it, the annual party.
Well, I say there's one other thing too that we'll probably see come in March. I like a new budget item tied to our CIP. I appreciate the chiefs have reached out and been working with Simmons Martin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. So
to tackle so that we're not having to do budget amendments.
Yeah, it's been frustrating. I do get a little upset when our engines break down because it's a safety issue, and I don't know a lot of the history of these trucks. They're getting old, but we had one. Roy was actually borrowing one of ours, which helped us out because we didn't have a place to store it. But it was a what was it called? Not a swing arm, a
drag link.
It was a drag. Anyway, it ended up bending. We bent like 6 months ago. So I got looking at, and I take this like all of us do very seriously. When I put my name down to a bill, I better know what it is and why are we having a mechanical problem we just fixed 6 months ago, and looking at the price and the increase of like what we're being charged to get these trucks operational. So I kind of call it, this is when he was dealing with his father's passing. I called an emergency meeting with Citizens Bar. Like, I have to understand what's going on. I invited Nika to help. I thought it's very informative of what the issue is. So what we decided in that meeting is to do an evaluation of both the truck 42 and truck 41. One's a 2009. And one's a 2001. 20 years is kind of like the shelf life of fire trucks, where either you keep them or you get rid of them. what we're seeing is, obviously, we just passed the amount of for the repairs of those trucks. It was over 55,000. So I don't want to look like a fool to you or either the chief. They're like, are you guys not watching this? Why is it costing so much? So what we've decided to do is have Sims Martin do an evaluation. Now, it's going to cost us some money. But what this is going to do is tell us what do we really need to get these trucks operational so we don't have to keep doing this. Because I think it looks really like we're incompetent of what we're doing if we're not on top of this. So we're going to have to pay for a full evaluation, but the feedback we're going to get is to say, is it worth to continue to put money into this vehicle? Is it going to nickel and dime us, or is it better to maybe sell one of them and keep this one, fix this one up until we can get this new ladder truck? So we're in this right now where we haven't set that up yet, but we just know it's financially nickel and diming us both of these trucks. So what's going to be the best solution? So what we like to do is get this evaluation done, bring this information to the board, and together make a decision on what we're going to do. Do we keep both, and do we continue to keep putting a lot of money into it? Because right now, like one was the panel, it was $3,000 to fix this electrical panel. Fortunately, it was a battery issue that we were able to fix, but we're going to continue to see this large increase. There's a lot more information that went into this meeting that I think it's too long today, but what we're trying to convey to you is we're trying to create a plan to mitigate these issues and come up with a plan what we're going to do in the future, because they're extremely expensive to maintain.
And I think to responsibly do a transparent. So instead of me just saying to the board, which we've always said, we'll just throw a dart at it, because I don't know what to budget, because it just changes every year. We already know that tires and oil changes and all that, and the fuel is expensive. We can budget for all that, but actually, Sidney Martin said, and I don't know if this falls into the CIP or capital improvements or whatever, but he said, you know, some departments put $25,000 per frontline vehicle it's not in that same account, so it's not me coming to you with a balanced budget saying we need $200,000 put into vehicle maintenance, because that's not really how much we need. I probably don't need near that much, but last year I did.
They recommended an amount of money per the expense of the truck. So if you have a $1.5 million truck, you should have this much set aside for that maintenance, for the ongoing maintenance of it, which we haven't really done. And that goes along with each of the trucks we've got.
I think this would be the big change, though. Is that coming in and saying, is this leaving the equivalent of a sinking fund for every vehicle?
Right.
And just go into it. So, I mean, it'd be an implication as far as how we budget as we bring on new apparatus, that there's going to be a pretty substantial set aside each year so that we've got buildups as we start hitting these 5 and 7 and 10 year marks where we're hitting these huge draws and just kind of earmarking it and setting it aside, that we've got a substantial fund to do it, rather than having to come back and budget amend and have that be better accounted for in our process.
And this was a little different dynamic where apparently we received one of the trucks, is a truck 41 from Sunset.
It was from
Cliffs. But yeah. I think as we progress, we'll get newer fleet, but we're in a situation for the next 3 years that it could cost us a lot of money if we don't somehow create a plan. And that's what the meeting was for, create a plan, set aside some money, and be transparent to the board. This evaluation is going to cost us some money, but down the road, like, it's going to help us make an informed decision what we should do moving forward. Do we sell one? Do we keep one and keep that operating? We got to have a ladder truck until the new one gets here. So trying to be really responsible and on top of it, because I think, like I said, we look really foolish. We just spent $50,000, and that's what I said to Sims Martin. I said, we just spent all this money, and then now this breaks. Now the whole front steering's got to be replaced. Now we're asking, I think you're going to lose confidence in us. So trying to get ahead of it, that's what we're trying to do. And we'll come back with those numbers once we get the apparatus evaluated.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened is, if you remember 6 months ago, I came to you and said, hey, we've had this happen. And the board was gracious and said, hey, yeah, we're going to amend the budget. We're going to do that. Then after that happened, our rescue engine, the transport engine.
Generator.
We have to replace the whole generator, $8,000. And I was like, I got to go back and tell the board.
So
never mind.
we need more. It's just...
I don't think any of us, I can speak for me, and I bet I can speak for me, I don't think any of us expect you to have a crystal ball as to what repairs are going to come up. You just don't know, right? Yeah. So you made me chuckle, but you used the word incompetent, and that's just not anywhere near...
I know, I just take it very personal, that I want to make sure we're on top of stuff.
But we get it, the age of it. I actually look forward to the data that you're going to get from that, and the procedure that's laid out is probably prudent to work with that. So, no, that sounds...
I think you guys are doing this with your track hose and your dump trucks.
Sure.
And your,
I think it's just upsetting us, like the last one. You know, fortunately, this one happened in a parking lot, and the other one happened. But if we're driving to a fire scene, it's a safety issue. And it's so, yeah. I just, when I get upset, because I want to make sure these units run and operate good, and you have full confidence that we're trying to predict the best we can, but also predict that maybe...
Yeah, we do expect you to make sure that all of the breakdowns happen when you're not on the light at all. That's all we ask.
So, anyway, we'll work with Cindermar. We'll get a cost for those evaluations. They do us a really depth and detail. It's a little more money, but again, that data we get will help us to make a really good informed decision as a group. So, and maybe by the next meeting, we'll have something for you.
I'd be interested in just kind of the process that they go through with this, like. How do you predict when an arm's going to fail or when a generator's going to go out? I mean, doesn't that just kind of happen?
I think they look at hydraulic seal for a ladder. I think they look at hydraulic seals and pump seals and stuff. And
a lot of it's hour based, like miles. Like I think one of them had 114,000. It was a demo at the time, and so they could predict a lot of it just the age, hours, because it does record the hours and mileage. And then what are they looking at? Suspension. A lot of different things, but right now we
just do a lot of that off just the age of the truck itself.
Yeah.
Right. You know? One of the gentlemen that came up was, you know, said, you know, think about when you just take your car to a mechanic. I mean, you're going to bring it in because something's wrong, and they'll tell you that's it. But if you've got a good one, they'll say, hey, when I've got the front end torn apart, you're close on this. Your rotors are about here. This is about that.
And they do it just by timing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's get your water pump out.
I mean, if I've got it cracked open, yeah.
100,000 miles on it. Let's just replace it. It may not be bad.
Right.
But
a good point that he made that I didn't think about is these vehicles operate on their maximum load. And we drive them as, I won't say a race car, but we drive them aggressively to try to get to respond. Where like a dump truck, they're not loaded 24/7. So the weight load on these and the amount of stress that's put on these vehicles are extreme. And it's all the time, where a lot of dump trucks and heavy equipment is off and on, depending on what you're doing. You take a load, you dump it, and then you drive. These are driven very hard at their maximum load, which I never really thought about. And second of all is the mechanics. So there are certifications, and the thought comes out, well, I come from Ogden, we had a fleet. Well, there's certifications, so you don't take your lawnmower to Jiffy Lube. You take it to a specialized someone who works on lawnmowers. That's the other part with them is they have these individuals who are highly certified who go to classes to make sure that these are being kept up on. You could take even Ogden Fleet. I don't think our fleet in Ogden City had near the certifications they're supposed to have. They work on lawnmowers and dump trucks, and so there are some specialized training that requires for fire trucks. And I have, after the meeting, I came out way more confident of who we've chosen to maintain the vehicles, learning from the past mistakes that we were with, the guy we were with before. So I think we're in a really good situation moving forward. Just in the next 3 years, there could be some inherent costs unexpectedly. So we got to make some decisions. Did I explain that well enough with the meeting?
No,
I mean, I'm trying to reiterate, but I did have them send some minutes from the meeting, if you'd like me to send you that, but I hope I've explained it well enough.
Your agenda, Mayor, for my assignment. No, unless there's something from the cities. Okay.
I will say we did a groundbreaking today for Junior High number 18.
Yeah.
Davis
We should call it South Westport Junior High.
Yeah, they're actually, they nicknamed it West Westport Junior High.
I actually love that. West West.
West
West Point Junior High.
We came up with a name.
There you go, good name. Island View.
Yeah, Island View.
That's even more better.
That makes a lot more sense, because I have an LDS chapel that I visit in my neighborhood that is Island View.
There's a psychiatric hospital in Syracuse.
This one will.
This one actually will, yeah, it's a good skip.
So yeah, so that.
What's the anticipated construction time?
It will be open for, in the fall of 2025.
Well, that's not bad.
Yep.
Getting your holiday oil, so the fire station could go get popcorn.
Yep. Creepy clown.
Yep, creepy clown station.
Everybody needs a creepy clown.
That should be.
It just seems like a city.
And we're all getting one, you know, Clinton's got theirs.
You get one, and you get one.
We should be able to outlaw that part.
We tried.
How's your, we really did try.
We did try.
How's your commercial, the tentative commercial property that 193 will open up?
So we conducted a small area plan and a market study with that. We've gotten that back, and it looks real positive and.
Really great feedback.
Really great feedback.
How about, I got a notice for the West Point, that annexation over by Clinton.
Yeah. Yep, we got one too.
What about the other part of West Point?
The way further west, nothing yet. State code needs to be changed, and they're working on that currently. Hopefully that will be this session to clear a lot of that code up, or it will just keep running circles.
Yeah, same thing, different day.
Yep.
But for me, respectfully, let Clinton run on those calls. We're busy enough. I don't.
We don't want to hear that.
We'll see where it goes.
You're like, noted.
I want your West Point eats it.
I'm waiting for a second. We're done.
She's waiting for a second.
Well, I just know when he jumps in, he's going to have her up.
I did last night. Work. Never seen a second something so bad.
Possibly.